Catherine followed Polly down a drab corridor to yet another dilapidated room. This contained a vast loom upon which hung a tapestry as big as a carpet, hand-knotted in scrumptious colours that seemed to trap the light and reflect it back in a glorious rainbow. There were shades of crimson, carmine, vermilion, scarlet and cerise, blues from sky to sea, greens dark as swamp cypress at midnight, bright as a spring morn. Yellows of liquid sunshine bled into tawny amber and sunset orange. Royal purple, mauve, puce and fuchsia jostled russet, sepia and sombre ochre. Veins of copper, bronze, silver and gold marbled voluptuous violets, inky indigos and whites pale as moonshine. Such polychromic splendour left Catherine giddy, breathless and a little overwhelmed. Beautiful, she sighed, mesmerised by the shifting hues washing over the weave like skeins of mist. I saw London once, Polly confided, but it ran from my eyes. I see it too, Catherine faltered, as ghosts of shimmering buildings, iridescent, pearlescent, lustrous, melded into the chaotic maelstrom of the tapestry. Where? Polly demanded. There, Catherine answered, stabbing the cloth with a finger and falling down as if dead. Catherine woke on a piece of embroidery stretching for miles in every direction. Turning her head, she saw the whole world move. It was so weird she sat up for a better look. When everything moved again as if adjusting to her viewpoint, she realised she was not so much lying on the cloth as woven into its very warp and weft. More fascinated than scared, she stretched her fingers, turning hands back and forth to watch the pink and beige threads move with her changing contours. It was hard to imagine how she could move normally, while her body was nothing more than stitches in cloth. With a mighty effort, Catherine stood up, causing streets of narrow houses to spring up all around. She was standing in the shadow of St. Paul's Cathedral, a towering white cliff in cross-stitch and cable. Looking around caused the embroidery to race by in a blur of colour which left her quite sick. Nauseous, she stopped and stood perfectly still. A moment later, when the stitching also stopped, she found herself looking down Ludgate Hill to Fleet Street, where an old steam engine on an overhead railway puffed out clouds of white and slate thread. Ragged knots fluttered down from the sky, descending as a flock of pigeons feather-stitched in dove grey. I'm in the tapestry. Where you wanted to be, rang out a magnificent voice. Springing back to face Bess, Catherine moved too fast and experienced another moment of sickening vertigo before shape and colour settled to reveal the fairy queen in front of the cathedral. Bess, dressed in ivory, shot with silver thread, hair wove close from orange and red, seamless face stitched marble smooth, twinkling eyes, sunshine blue, spoke from needlepoint lips the shape and colour of a bloodied rosebud. If you wish but to adieu, let nothing here restrain you. No, I want to stay, but it is so strange, Catherine grumbled. Bess half smiled. One often sees what one expects. How can that be when I'm in your tapestry? This is not my tapestry. This is my world. Then help me understand it, Catherine pleaded. Even as she spoke, Beth was vanishing, dress and skin fading into the cathedral walls, hair and lips into the terracotta tiles, while her sky-blue eyes were lost to the wide blue sky. Her abrupt departure left Catherine frustrated and a little peeved. It seemed you had to do everything for yourself. Nobody would help, not even Bess. True, she wanted to see the wonders of London hidden in the tapestry, but she thought she would be flesh and blood in a real London, not a picture in a picture. Conscious of sudden popping noises, Catherine was taken aback by the sight of fat, sausage-like swellings on the ends of her hands. More pops, and her feet bloomed. Horrified by the misshapen lump she was becoming, Catherine suddenly realised she was turning normal again, She was so used to being flat, round came as a bit of a shock. By now, Catherine towered over the tapestry. Looking down, she felt sad to be leaving it behind. Except it was not staying behind. It was coming with her. In a thunderous roar, London burst into life. Buildings soaring skyward blotted out the sun. She found herself in a dirty lane between rows of horrible tenements, amongst a crowd of ragged, filthy people. The sharp stink of sweat, overlying the mouldering sweetness of decay and ordure, left her gagging. Without knowing how, Catherine knew she was in the rookeries. The slums between Soho and Holborn were notorious for every type of crime and human misery. It was here the Irish hid Queen Bess from the majors for almost 100 years. This was not the London Catherine wanted to see, but it was the London Bess knew. Yet although Queen Bess felt comfortable here, Catherine certainly did not. She hurried on, somehow travelling through the city much faster than legs could carry her. She felt as if London was moving too, taking her where she wanted to go. From the theatres of Drury Lane she passed into Covent Garden, where the fine folk of an earlier age mixed with the ghosts of porters and flower sellers from the old fruit and veg market, and herds of modern tourists. Time seemed confused in London, as if caught in swirling eddies or trapped in silted pools. The city looked no more than a loose weave of different ages. Beyond Covent Garden, the buildings were older. Dark timber frames supporting buff plaster walls replaced dull yellow and tile red brick. Upper stories overhanging the narrow alleys almost met in the middle, blotting out all but the meanest light from the fetid street. Arriving in Trafalgar Square, dominated by Nelson's Column, Catherine was surprised to see the roads almost empty. What few cars there were looked like antiques. Even the red London buses appeared old-fashioned. A man ran towards her as sirens wailed. He wore a khaki uniform with a tin helmet, saying, "Air Raid Warden." "Better get down the tube, miss. You'll be safe there." Catherine heard the ominous rumble of engines. The sky, now starless and Bible black, was broken by searchlights illuminating barrage balloons and the sinister silhouettes of Nazi bombers. Anti-aircraft guns shot brilliant flares into the heavens. Explosions bloomed like fire flowers as bombs rained down, their booms deafening. The night sky boiled red as London burned. Ash drifted like warm, black snow. Taking the air raid warden's advice, Catherine ran for the shelter of the underground.